Blog Talk Radio.
DJ Eskimo City, the coolest DJ on the motherfucking planet. Yeah, it's me from Australia and I'm an alien.
Eskimo, the coolest DJ in the world.
I sit by the cover, this shit is so muddy, but I love it, baby. When I jump out the whip, when I hop out the whip, then the fresh and the latest. I do what I want and I smoke till I'm faded. I drink till I pass out, I wake up and drink up again. I pour up again and again. I said I wasn't gonna fuck with that bitch and I fucked her again. I scream out the gutter in the sewer, the streets turn a bar to a man. I nodded off with that Ruger, I took your bitch to Aruba. She pop a super cause she got that super. When I say super, that's your super future. We never gon' lose, we never gon' lose. Never gon' lose cause these bitches gon' choose. These bitches gon' be who they is. Walking in.
We'll do it right!
Damn, I don't even want to start the show. It's just, This is the Pro Wrestling Torch East Coast cast. It is Wednesday, October 21st, 2015. I'm your host, Travis Bryant. And we're back for another week of wrestling talk and chatter. Again, I'm Travis Bryant. And with me this week, as he has been for the last few weeks, few months, my podcast, my co-host in we got mad shows that we do. Anyway, let's bring Cam on. Cameron, whoops, I did not mean to shoehorn 845 on. The board switched. Where's he at? Cam, there you are. What's happening?
You know, a wise man once told me these bitches are gonna be what they is.
They gonna choose who they
I don't
gonna
know
choose.
If you knew that. Yeah. And when I say I'm super, it's super future.
I seriously did not. Look, I want to acknowledge, because there are probably, you know, a few people within, definitely within our circle who just called me out on my shit, but also probably a few listeners. Like, wait a second. I remember specifically on this show, this fucking guy going on. I remember just actively making fun, you know, of pretty much the same shit, Migos, and now my favorite Future mixtape is the one he did with Gucci Mane. Like, that, my mind is, I don't know, blame it on the activists.
I mean, I haven't heard a bad Gucci Mane mixtape yet, so.
Well,
I've heard bad Gucci Mane albums. They're bad. Gucci Mane mixtapes? No, those, they were bad.
I am heavy into Future right now, and have been for the last few months, but now it's just overdrive. I was like, you know what? Thursday or Friday, whenever that was, I just went on that download spree. Like, why am I pussyfooting around? This is my man. I like him. Let me stop. Give me everything. All right, anyway, this is the East Coast cast. We got some hot topics to talk about for sure. If you want to talk to us, hit up the Constellation line, because we certainly want to talk to you. Call us 347-202-0103. Once again, that's 347-202-0103. And before we go any further, I want to say happy Back to the Future Day. Cameron, Linos, Linas alike, happy Back to the Future Day, everyone.
And you know what's interesting? We, because of the hour time difference, I believe it's 7:28 p.m. your time. We'll still be on the air, so we'll have our Back to the Future minute down while we're still on air.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Happy Back to the Future Day to you as well,
sir. Like a singularity or something, like, opens up above, like, the Zoom comes down.
I mean, I'm jumping in.
Son of a bitch.
I'm jumping in. Yeah, man.
I got nothing to lose.
I'm going. I got to find this. I got to. Matter of fact, let me find my sports almanac now, just in case it goes the other way. Somebody said on Twitter, they said, Biff got in the DeLorean and started FanDuel. And I was like, you know what? There's a possibility.
Wait, Biff got in the DeLorean and started what?
He took the sports almanac, and instead of betting on games, he just started FanDuel.
Oh,
the,
shit.
Yeah. started FanDuel and DraftKings.
Oh, that's degenerate fucking site. Degenerate gamblers to degenerately gamble in another degenerate way. Yes, yeah.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
No. No. Yeah. Just look at the advertising.
That seems, it's just too, I got a buddy who's like, I won $15 on FanDuel. I was like, okay.
Yeah. No, it's all the key, like, psychological hits and all that stuff. Like, it's geared for scumbags and degenerates.
It's an online slot machine.
It's just a clever way of getting around. Like, they came in and shut all the online gambling down and stuff in the early 2000s or mid-2000s. This is a way of getting around that. Like, they didn't say fantasy. You know, it's like, you slime bags. But, you know, we'll have a year of this, and the NFL and those guys, and they're all complicit. That's who I really like. But anyway, we ain't even 10 minutes in, and we soapbox game. Happy Back to the Future Day. Call us 347-202-0103. If you can't call us, shoot us an email anytime during the week, anytime during the show. The mailbag is always open and constantly being refreshed. And we certainly need some emails in. We have zero. So get an email in, even if it's just saying what's up. EastCoastAudioShow@gmail.com. EastCoastAudioShow@gmail.com. Twitter is always another option and way to get at the show. You can find the show on Twitter at East Coast Cast, twitter.com/EastCoastCast. Of course. And phones, they're the worst. If you want to find my personal Twitter, it's at TravLord. And you can find Cam on Twitter at Seahawk, CEEHAWK. So what's happening on the – oh, somebody corrected me, Joseph Moore on Twitter, because I was talking about how the NXT Respect from 2 weeks ago or whatever threw me off because it was on a Wednesday, and he said they're all on Wednesday except the one, the Brooklyn.
Yeah, we just haven't had that one on Saturday that one time.
Right.
Yeah.
I just thought that first one, you know, Natty and Charlotte – and Neville in a match versus somebody, you know, like that was a a Wednesday show. Huh? Like, oh, okay, that first one, that first live show that they had on the network in February or March. That was a Wednesday, or a I don't know. I mean, whatever.
It must have been, yeah.
But I think he definitely, Joe has a point. So, but I thought maybe it was just more than just Brooklyn. So, oh, he says Wednesday or Thursday. Oh, okay, that's probably where it's.
Okay, just a win, yeah, because it could have been a Thursday night back then.
All right, whatever. Sweet a meme from Dwight Nash on Twitter. I'm putting a chip in Brock Lesnar's head. It's really awesome. So nothing happening on Twitter shit in the last week. Again, my Twitter is at TravLord and at Seahawk for Cam. And the fan page on Facebook, that's the final frontier, the final way to get at the show, to say what's up to the show, to share an article or a meme or something with the show and the fans of the show. You can find that page at facebook.com/PWTorchEastCoastCast, or just search East Coast Cast or PW Torch East Coast Cast. I remember the first time, maybe 2 or 3 years ago when we finally started coming up on the first page of Google. Like, if you Google East Coast Cast, it used to, when we first came out, you know, that first year or so, damn, number one, PW Torch East Coast Cast, one on radio. Number one, two, three, iTunes. Wait, we're on Podbay, whatever that is. Podbay, wait, reviews of PW Torch East Coast Cast on Podbay?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Wait. Oh, damn.
Four.
Okay. Average rating, 4, damn.
Is that a 4 out of 10?
Wait. Out of 18 ratings. Oh, wait. Oh, see, it's one of those. Okay, so it looks like we got a bunch of 5-star, 4, 12, and 4. So 16, 4, 5, and 4 stars. And then, like, 4 1-star joints to fuck up the average.
Ah, okay. I'm reading the one from, can I read the one from September 29th?
By Sergeant Silver?
Yep.
The show is dull and boring, doesn't talk about anything but these fools' dull and boring lives. Wade Keller is the only good part of these shows, but that's when he can do it. Well, he's never
Hasn't he never done one of these?
This show. No.
What?
Not up to par with dozens of... See, I can get that. I get that. Not up to par with dozens of other podcasts in this category. Like, oh, okay. Trav and Dre are doing an amazing job. See, so that's cool. Fun podcast, although off topic very often. Hashtag bring back Sarge. No.
Oh, man.
Finally, a wrestling podcast I can relate to. Best sports podcast. Oh, that's G Peoples. Okay. See, that's my homie, so. But still. Indeed. Oh, no. Here we go. Sergeant KR. Sergeant KR, this is the worst podcast I've heard, Garbage.
Garbage? Yo, that was 3 years ago. Oh, my God. So good.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. But guess who chimes in week after week? All right. That was fun. All right. Now, but enough with pipe. But the point is, come up on the search. So, anyway, the Facebook for the page. And,
that's incredible.
If you want to leave your I mean, it's not an official review, but if you want to go to the fan page and be like, these guys fucking suck, especially that Cameron, how dare he? You know, go ahead.
We're okay with that. You can say those words.
It's the worst podcast.
So don't listen.
Oh, so hurt. But big shouts out to Ken Banks, who liked the page over the weekend. So big shouts out to Ken. And any pages like that? Oh, okay. Look like we have a few, or is these the same people? They just changed their name from Paragon Pro to CTWE Pro Wrestling. I thought it was CTE Wrestling. Like, is that like some kind of ironic?
Easy, got a wrestling organization. Corporate Thugs Entertainment Wrestling.
The friggin' brain damage thing.
Oh.
That's what I thought they were like trying to be funny, like the CET Wrestling Federation. Like we're all headshots and table, you know, power drivers.
Oh God.
There was a Philly indie dude back in the early 2000s named Dr. Abortion. And he used to come out with a butcher's apron on with splatter, you know, blood with doll baby parts, like arms and legs, you know, glued to it.
Yeah.
Oh, in a vacuum. He would carry, like, doofy head on and
Scream?
Scary
in,
movie.
The Scream parody,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. See, this is what that guy was talking about. Dull and boring, talking about...
Yeah, how dare you talk about these things that don't have to do with what I want to hear. Stop.
Dull and boring lies. Okay. Let's get to what's important. Do you have a headline for this week, Cam?
I do have a headline, sir.
Yeah. Sure.
Brock Lesnar has more bodies than friends.
Than who?
Than friends.
Than friends.
Like,
yeah.
His body count is larger than his friend count.
No, and that's, you know, that's, I mean, mine is too. I mean, I don't think that's hard to do, but considering the guy and what business is, his body count is bigger than his acquaintances.
Yeah. His body count is bigger than his Google circles.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. I'd say it would have to be the podcast. That would have to be Brock Lesnar on the Stone Cold podcast will be my headline for a few reasons. Most notably, there wasn't a whole lot of Hell in a Cell advancement on Monday's Raw.
If you count that weird. On Raw, yeah.
Yeah, because everything was
They solidified. Well, they did the stuff with Dean and them because Orton's hurt or whatever. So that was kind of.
Yeah. But for the most part, I mean, and the table had already been set, so it's not like a shot at Raw. But, you know, that was definitely the most noteworthy thing, you know, seeing that or at least the build up to it. A lot of people did expect to get some type of, you know, inkling as to whether we get Austin and Lesnar at WrestleMania. It doesn't seem to be the case at this point.
No friggin' way. It wasn't, no. You went in trying to, I hope nobody went in like, ooh, this is where they're going to drop some hints or start that angle. Like, no, man, you're disappointed.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you should have had those expectations going in, but it was definitely a good interview and noteworthy, and it was probably the most exciting thing that happened Monday night. You know, Raw was Raw. Nothing really happened. Seth Rollins looked like a stupid, gullible child. You know, again. What the hell else happened? Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. I don't even know. I watched the damn show. What happened?
And here's something that happened to me that I think I have more evidence of, and I think it's more likely to happen than it's ever been. I really think that Kofi is going to face John Cena in Hell in a Cell. I really, really do. Because New Day beat the Dudleys and John Cena, and he's the only one in the group that has not had a U.S. title match. So I really think he's going to be the one to get this shot. I think they're going to walk out of Hell in a Cell with 3 belts and 2 titles.
Yeah. That would, as much time as they get and as many main events that they've been in and a part of the last 2 months, And also knowing Cena's going away, and there's no point in having Cena just vacate the title or go away with the belt for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm all for Kofi Kingston beating Cena in the Hell in a Cell. Are they having 3 cell matches?
I guess, you know, as it's going on, I can't see that being in a cell. The tag team title match is in a cell, correct?
I don't know.
Because I'm like, of course, Lesnar, Taker. Of course,
right. And I think,
Rollins and Kane.
No. It's going to be Reigns
And Wyatt. Okay.
And Bray, yeah.
So I'd say if there were only going to be 3, I'd say that it would be
only.
Well, again, you know, that when you name a pay-per-view Hell in a Cell same month every year, you better put somebody in a damn cell. I think it'll be the, like you said, the Rollins, Rollins-Kane, Taker-Lesnar, and Wyatt-Reigns. I think those will be the 3.
And Cena's open challenge will just be a regular match.
Yeah.
And Kofi will win it. Right. Because how do you do a cell match with Kofi and Cena? It's just not nowhere near. How would Kofi win? He's not vicious enough to beat him to get heat like that. and beat them down with objects or the cage itself.
And this is when I say,
and he can't just beat him straight up, but he's got no help. He can't cheat. He can't get distracted. Cena.
Yeah, they got to do something slick, because when Cena comes back, he needs to want that title back.
Yeah. All right, let's jump right into phone calls. I got a feeling it'll be not busy, but we'll have a decent amount of calls. And just to remind everybody, just everybody that's on hold, everybody I'm looking at 602 way down there, 864, 773. Oh, that's you. 845, I see you. You know, even if you want to, you got, you know, want to get on in the queue, press 1, and that'll show that you want to get in line. So hit 1, and then I'll notify. Let's open this thing up. Oh, what happened to... I assume that was... there you go. Probably hit 1 and reset his thing. What are you doing? Eating? I would say ask if you're eating a snack or something. But
I mean, full disclosure, I'm actually eating a snack.
Wait a second.
Like, full disclosure, I'm eating a snack. Do clip bars count as snacks? Oh, God.
Cameron eats a snack. Well, I mean, I appreciate that you're, you know, lowering yourself to actually have and enjoy a snack.
But the whole wrapper opening thing was a problem. Let me throw this wrapper open.
God damn. Yeah.
You never know how loud it is on the other side. But, yeah, okay. So that's dumb.
You really don't. I get nervous because I play with my beard, right? But it's right there. I'm like, is that going like just?
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. So I gotta watch that. Okay. 623 was first in line, but now they're not. But let's be nice. Bring him on. 623, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Trav? This is Chuck from Phoenix.
What up, Tay, man? What's going on? Long time.
Yo.
No rest.
Man, chilling, you know, working. I was driving, and I hit the button, and it hung me up, so I had to call back real quick.
Okay.
All right.
So
I got a
on?
Headline.
Yeah.
Why have they not addressed?
That's already not a headline.
2002. Man, 2002, the Hell in a Cell between
Brock Taker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They never addressed this. It would make the story so much better. I mean, they addressed it with Brock Lesnar and the Big Show when the Big Show was the first, you know, first guy to beat him at Madison Square Garden or whatever. And they can't go back and even make it worse for The Undertaker, or at least build up that desperation that he has to win by saying that he has never beat Brock Lesnar. He even lost already at Hell in a Cell. Like, that's redemption for him if Taker's supposed to go over. I mean,
well, he's not.
It pisses me off. It pisses me off so bad.
That's
because
probably,
I'm an Undertaker fan.
Right, but that's probably why they're not drawing attention to it, because he's not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sunday. So it's not going to be redemption. So
well, it doesn't even have to be redemption. At least it'll make it'll
no,
make
no, no,
Brock
no, no.
Lesnar
I'm with
look
you.
Like
tell that sad story.
Bad.
Look, tell that sad story. Why does everything have to be like great and good? You know, tell that sad story. So at WrestleMania, the happy story is even better. I don't know. I mean, damn.
I say
like
sad
those
stories
like this. Scared not that they don't want to, you know, do anything that's going to make people, you know, feel, not just go, yay, I don't know.
Me, being a fan, I'm 42 years old, man. I've been watching wrestling since I was 5.
Right.
So, I mean, as far as actual wrestling history goes, I know Vince doesn't give a shit about that, but Brock Lesnar being built up as this legitimate badass person, that right there, his 2002 run was the most dominant run of anybody. Like, that would just make him that much more of a badass going into WrestleMania, even going forward after The Undertaker is gone. He beat him.
All right, well.
And he kept on beating him.
I mean, I know, Brock was really good back then, but his 02 run was from SummerSlam to Survivor Series. When did he beat Big Show and take it back? December or January, or, you know, a month or two later?
Yeah.
Because him and, obviously, him and Kurt went on to,
Yeah,
or did Kurt
the
come back and beat Big Show? I don't remember. Damn, this is the era I usually remember everything.
I just don't understand why they wouldn't address that.
But who's my point? My point was I was going to ask. But who did Brock beat in like in that 02 stretch from SummerSlam to from August to November?
Undertaker was enough. That wasn't enough. Beating the Undertaker and keeping the
belt. That was right. Oh no, that's your point. No, that was the next year when he was a heel.
Was it?
That was 03. Maybe
so.
Sure? Oh, I'm just.
I thought he was face. I don't know. That's weird, man, because I thought he went face after he beat The Undertaker. Because he broke his
hand. Undertaker was Biker Taker at that point, but was he like Big Evil Taker at that point?
Right, because he beat Undertaker at the end of 03 and threw him in the thing and buried him, or Kane did or whatever, and then that set up the return at the Rumble I was at in 04. So you just said 02, and I just went off on that. That's all. So, but his 03 run still, I mean, his run back then, period, was good. But he wasn't this Lesnar. I mean, he was still a regular dude. I watched that match last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, him versus Rock, when he took the Undisputed title from Rock.
Yeah.
And it was a good match. But Brock was a wrestler, doing Irish whips and shit and bouncing off clothesline and selling and going back and forth and punching and
but
taking punches.
He was still suplexing the shit out of people, though, man.
He was suplexing the
Undertaker. He was powerbombing motherfuckers. He was brutal.
I get you. I'm not saying he wasn't. He was totally. But that's a totally different person. And I'm probably getting hung up. That's not even your... I'm taking it in a direction it probably didn't need to go.
It's cool. I mean, other than that, everything else is to me right now is garbage. The fucking championship don't mean shit. Seth Rollins don't mean shit. Women's wrestling has been cool. I hope that they'll get over this Sasha Banks is ratchet shit because she's a really good wrestler. And they need to stop doing that stupid shit, man.
Let me bring up a quick point and Chuck, get your opinion as well as Cam's. So Jobber in the chat room brings up a great point that when Roman Reigns says suffering succotash, remember, we were all together, Cam, at Shahid's crib, eating enchiladas and watching football and shit. Or not enchiladas, quesadillas. So I got quesadillas and wings and all kinds of shit jumping, and we get the notification or wherever it came from, Roman Reigns is suffering succotash, and we were merciless on the guy for days and weeks, and everybody online was. But Paige says Sally, Jesse, Raphael in 2015. If you said Sally, Jesse, Raphael in 2005, you're stretching it. In 95,
Paige isn't supposed to know who that is.
Totally. Totally.
Paige
shouldn't
know who she is.
You could say that was like a married with children, thing, joke or something. Watching Oprah and Phil Donahue and Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Peggy, blah, blah, blah. Sally fucking Jesse, Raphael? Because when she said it, I was like, no one knows what she's talking about.
No, I take that back.
Because as Wade and the people that talk about the ratings point out, the median age for Raw viewers is like 38.
Yeah, it's like, that's in my age bracket.
But you should not be trying to appeal to 38-year-olds with references.
Why the fuck not? We still watch that shit. That's what we want.
Oh,
we want a little bit of reality.
Okay, so you're saying Sally Jesse Raphael, that was a thorough reference.
Like,
that was good.
That's not
so
what you want, though.
First off, like, she like 22. Why she even know who Sally Jesse
yeah,
Raphael
that's
is?
That's my point. Like, she's a child. Like,
well, why is
like,
she love with so-called Steve Austin?
Yeah, like, my little sister doesn't know who that is, and my sister's 22. Like, she couldn't pick her out of the lineup.
That's
so, yeah, it's weird for her
she
to make
that old
reference.
Pipe.
Either way.
Page like that old pipe, dude. That's what that is. You know how they get down in London? Them boys be getting it in at 10. Like, they got babies at 12 and shit.
Oh, man.
It's that Game of Thrones shit.
That was a broad brushstroke, Chuck.
I'm an artist, man.
What else you got for us? What else on your mind?
That was pretty much it. I'm just sad about the Undertaker bill, man. And I'm going to hit y'all. I'm going to try to do it before the end of October because it's Inktober for us artists. So I'm going to try to do a South Congress and a East Coast cast fan art. Some really, really cool shit to send to y'all. So y'all, you know,
have
good looking out, man. We appreciate it, man.
Man.
It's all good. Did you guys even do a South Congress, a podcast? Was it today? It was supposed to be on today?
We
Why
did
didn't
it
you
today.
Mention that?
We did it
I love
it. Yeah.
It should be up.
Go ahead. I'm gonna plug mother.
Yeah. We did it actually a little bit before we went on air. I'm actually gonna I'm uploading it as we're talking on the phone, so it'll be available once the show's over. Yeah. So yeah. I appreciate you referencing it, man. Appreciate you checking that out, man. We have a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, cause see that nerd talk, I'm all about that. When you guys start taking callers on there, I will be there.
Did you watch Flash last night?
Fuck yeah. Flash, Agents
of
S.H.I.E.L.D., all that shit. I watch all that shit.
Did you see it last night, though? Last night's episode?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Okay.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. We talked about how this is the three episodes in, three pretty fire episodes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
My one complaint about Flash was certain aspects, they move real fast, like building that, what's the name, cannon. To contain the whatever the breach. I was like, oh, did that in like 3 days? You know, like, okay.
Yeah, they did it quick.
Scientists and brilliant geniuses and all that, but sheesh.
Yeah, I know. They figured that shit out real quick. They made it out like it was going to be like the Riddle of the Sphinx or something, and they figured it out in a day. And then the professor died. Oh, my bad. Anyway, no more spoilers.
Yeah.
I'll let y'all do that shit on the show. But,
Yeah. Cool.
Right on, man. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. I'll hit y'all back
up. We appreciate you, man.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely,
sure.
Man. Keep on doing. All right, man. Peace.
Chuck Taylor from Arizona, artist extraordinaire. Check out his work at darkcitycomics.com. Should let him go into promo mode.
Darkcitycomics.com. Right, which is Instagram?
.com. Well, I know Dark City is I think, at Dark City Comics.
Okay.
Let me check. Let's see. D-A-R-K. Yep, Dark City Comics on Instagram. Follow the brand. Really, really good book that Chuck Taylor draws and puts together. I'm not sure how much of the storyline he has to do with, but he has a huge influence on the style and drawing of the book itself. Him and his homes, small crew over at Epic. Really good book. And it looks, it looks so good on your tablet. I got a 7-inch Samsung joint. I can't imagine if I had like a 10 or 12-inch joint. Pause. But yeah, at Dark City Comics, darkcitycomics.com. So, let's keep it moving. Let's see who to talk to next. Let's see. 412. Sounds familiar, but I don't know who exactly that is. 412, what's happening? Who's this? 412.
Uh-oh, they're putting us through to a bill collector.
Hey, I'm going to hear it. Hey, big guy.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again.
Set up your voicemail, shawty.
I'm going to hang that call up then. If he's still there, he'll call back. So, that's, pick up the phone. I was ready to, like, get down and dirty with a sex chat line. On air. I don't give a fuck. All right, let's go to, I think, Mike in Brooklyn. Mike, is that you?
What's good, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
How you doing, man?
Cool, man. I'm thinking back, you know, rather than the edge. Just to add on what you were saying, like, you know, about the U.S. challenge, you know, it could be possibly Kobe Kingston, but in the event it's not. Do y'all see them, like, bringing somebody up or, you know, somebody that's not currently on the main roster and trying to do something with
it? No, I think it works best if you do it with somebody on the roster already. Because the candidates you would think, you know, like if a healthy Sami Zayn, even though there's not a, what are you going to do, bring Cena back to feud with Sami Zayn, you know, that babyface thing. No matter how the fans react, like, Cena's still going to say, like, babyface things and be, like, a, you know, cornball babyface guy. And that, when Sami Zayn's underdog kind of babyface thing, like, I don't know how that would mesh. Everybody you want to see, you want to see him kind of go on a journey. You don't want to, like, Sami Zayn come in and he's champion? Like, you kind of want to see that happen in 8 months or a year or, shit, 3 or 6 months at least. Let him chase a heel and get cheated and, you know, sell and puppy dog face. And that's what he's good at. But I think Kofi Kingston cashing in or challenge stepping up is the right call. For more than, you know, for more reasons than one. Just because it makes sense storyline-wise. That seems like where he's the one, only one out of the group that hasn't gotten his shot. And it gives somebody that's going to get Cena some real good matches when he comes back. Might give him a real good match at Hell in a Cell. But the potential is there, is my point, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think something that just happened. I don't know, Mike. Yeah, Mike, I don't know how familiar, how up you are on spoilers from yesterday. Actually, and I wish we had maybe I'll put it on the fan page. It was a great pick of Naomi and Sasha Banks doing Good Morning Austin yesterday. I almost went down to the studio and just hung out outside because it was fantastic. But there's a spoiler from SmackDown. Somebody who's prominent on NXT actually is going to come up this week.
Yeah,
and
I heard this morning.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's definitely, you know, a potential candidate. That's one, and you'll see, like I said, you'll see that unfold, I guess, tomorrow.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
more than, yeah, totally. That guy would be, and it would get that act off to a,
a real good start. But then you run into
again,
the.
But again, I don't care about the, I really don't give a crap about the component to that. Again, talking around. I don't.
And you may run into a thing where it's too many heel champions. You know, you have to worry about that. But,
But you have to worry
about
it with Kofi, too, still. I mean,
but are they heels is the question.
Oh, good point,
good point.
Of course.
You know, I do see them. But yeah, I really think, I thought it was going to be Kofi for a while, so that's kind of like how I go with it. But because they bring somebody up on SmackDown, which is kind of the end of the week, go home show, like even for them to do it on that show, it makes me think that if it's not that guy, then it's somebody who's already, you know, on the main roster, and I really think Kofi would be the most likely candidate based on, you know, what we've been seeing over the last month or two, but also just what happened on Monday. So, yeah, still kind of where I'm hanging my hat would be with Kofi there.
Now, Mike, you on that Brooklyn's Finest, because you chilling.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I am, yeah.
And
I'm on that legal Zoom right now.
I don't blame you.
I just listened to you fellas, you know, go back and forth. Which is cool, because I don't know, like, this pay-per-view, like, I think, like, Monday night, that was a cry for help. And they was just stupid.
WWE?
They was just stupid for not, you know, promoting that Austin would be on the show. Wouldn't you think by promoting him ahead of time would maybe, you know, pick up some extra viewers?
Like, no, for sure. And we didn't even, how we, you know, 40
we
minutes
talked
into
about
the
any
show.
Of the special guests. Like, none of them.
Huh?
I said, we even talked about any of the special guests they had. Like, yeah, it's just.
Because who cares? What did they do?
And that's my point. That's exactly
yeah.
what
like,
I'm
really,
saying.
Shawn Michaels would come out with the
Shawn
Tower
Michaels,
boots
man,
and
I
eat
hate,
some random kid
no,
pizza.
I
like,
hate
on,
non-all-in Shawn Michaels. I can't stand him. Can't stand him.
Like, we need
like,
to
I love him. Shawn Michaels. He's might be my favorite wrestler of all time. Like, he might be. Like, Kurt Angle's up there. Chris Jericho was there. You know, I really like Ray. But Michaels goes back to me being 11, 10, 11, 12 years old. None of those other guys do. 18, 19 maybe, like Jericho and stuff. But Michaels, but when he's not in all in or being zany and hanging out with Triple H's little buddy and being the foil and being the goofy guy in that group, or being the butt of the jokes and stuff, I hate that Michaels. And then this Michaels that just shows up and he don't have no stake in anything that's going on. You probably don't know what's going on with anybody's individual storyline. You know, he has to probably be filled in on everything. If he cares to, he might just say, "Just tell me what I need to know for my stuff." But he was again just like, "Whatever, Michael." It's like Rollins will ball you the fuck up, man. Stop playing. Like, look how big Rollins is. Like, damn, Rollins is deceptively big. Like when he stands next to Roman Reigns, Roman doesn't like tower over him or out thick him. You know, you kind of like, damn. But then when he's standing next to somebody smaller than him, like HBK. You definitely see it.
Yeah, I just not to touch you off. I just met him at the Ringside Fest thing. I took my nephew there. I just met him. He's a big dude, and I'm a big dude. So I go around 6'3", about 270. Yeah, I'm a big dude. He's a big dude, and he kind of like traveled over me.
Right.
He's about 6'4", 250 then, right?
Rollins,
you think Rollins is
250?
The way he
looks. Yeah, the way he carries it, yeah.
No, you're right. If he's a legit 6'2", 6'3", you look at his arms, like he's got pretty big arms. Like we're just so used to like, standing next to a Ryback or somebody. It's hard to imagine.
I mean, even Ziggler come across on TV, he looks... You know, like a small guy, but he kind of, you know, in person, he got some size to him.
And I would have said he would have been, you know, the most likely guy to, you know, take on Cena if he didn't, if they didn't have that match last week. I thought, like, if there was going to be another guy, it might be him, especially the way, you know, New Day took him out before. Ziggler.
Oh, Dolph. Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
they went through with that, man, which was really good, but still. And then he's
so we're going to get
in
what
weird
Dolph
story
versus
line.
SmackDown spoiler at the open up Hell in a Cell or something like that. Maybe
I bet they won't see each other till Raw. I bet that's not going to happen on that show.
Yeah, the six man pre-show. The six man is Dolph, Cesaro, Neville, Barrett, Sheamus, and Rusev is a rematch.
Okay.
That's the pre-show. Also, y'all, you guys didn't get a chance to check the GWF trailer yet?
No.
I know I haven't.
I
just hear whatever is reported about him on audio, you know, that Wade or Jason or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
they got some shows in the can. They're about to run another set of tapings. Like, oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah, they finally do their thing. But another interesting thing I was reading over the weekend, you know, with Sami Zayn going to the Evolve show, do you see some type of, you know, like, co-collaboration with them in NXT?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, they're trying to forge something, but it's weird the way they're going about it with trying to cut Ring of Honor. Like, what are you doing? Like, what the hell? They're worried about stupid-ass toy deals. Like you're worried about, you're literally a behemoth and a Goliath worried about, like, some shit that you have no business worried about. Like, why do you care that there could possibly be, you know, that your guys could, somebody that you might want later, 5 years from now, got exposure on the Singular Network and all their branches or syndication stuff? Like, so what? And he got a toy made of himself? Well, okay. You're going to brand him a new thing. That's Kevin Steen. That's not a Kevin Owens toy, action figure.
Don't you see the different initials on the T-shirt? That's a different guy. And he has this Intercontinental title belt packaged in with him. It's different. It's different.
Real quick, shouts out to G Peoples who sent me a text that he's sneaking in a live listen. He said HBK is his favorite of all times, and he hates Not All In Michaels as well. So it's just something about, you know, some people can come in and kind of fake it, you know, not fake it, but just not be all engaged, but still come in and do a good, you know, good job. You know, Rock does. Yeah, really, no. He needs to be all in.
He's a flash off. And last thing, fellas, yeah. You know, where do we go? Heading towards Survivor Series, Royal Rumble. Do they wrap up Roman Reigns, or do they a small thing and just, I think they should get behind Ambrose, because he's seen the most ready, unless they're going to bring somebody up.
Then they need to start now. I mean, that's the thing, Mike. It can't get to December, like, after TLC and go, okay, let's get Ambrose hot for the Rumble. Like, first off, I don't think either scenario would happen, whether they could start getting behind him now or in December or January. He is not going to win the Rumble, and he's not going to main event WrestleMania, especially in Dallas. That talk starts now.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble.
I think with him,
yeah.
With Ambrose, it's a shame that they needed somebody to go against Rollins as early as they did. Because I think that match they had in Money in the Bank, I think, was really, really, really good. And then, I mean, they played them as even. You know, that was as even a ladder match as you'll ever get.
Yeah.
It just came down to them both falling with the belt and one guy getting it. So it sucks that the roster was so dwindled and they didn't prepare guys to where he had to be, you know, a guy that he beat early on.
Like Ryback turning heel. Like, too bad they didn't have anybody else set up for Cena, and they felt they had to turn Ryback so they can get a 2-month program out of him.
Mm-hmm. And I think with Reigns, you know, he put on a good match with Lesnar at WrestleMania. I think because Lesnar was a unique character, once that match went on, he could take that physical abuse. People were behind him. I don't think if Rollins is still the champion, it makes sense to have Reigns go against him. Because Rollins is going to – if they let Rollins be pay-per-view Rollins like they have been, Rollins with the double dive out and then hit you with the flying plancha over the top rope, like if they let him be that guy on that stage, it's not going to do Reigns any favors. So, like, with that said, me taking out the two guys that you think, Mike, like, I don't know who they would put there. I really don't.
Right, because it's crazy. Oof. You got Cena out. Orton hurt. It's like they need to start building somebody now. 100,000 people in the stadium. I don't think so, buddy. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yo, the thing is, what I thought about today, they could do a monster number in that building, and still visually look like a failure. Because if you put 85,000 people in there, you're gonna have 15. Or, well, more, that's for football. For wrestling, 105 for football. So what, 115, 110 at least for,
man,
you know.
Man, you saw $18 tickets, man. $18 tickets. I think they'll find a way to fill up.
No, I guess you're right. But I'm just saying,
I've sat in, like,
if they
in
only
a back
put
row at that stadium.
80,000 people in that, which is a success anywhere else, but because it's 100, it
mm-hmm.
seats 120 for wrestling,
yeah.
it's going to be spot. You're going to see holes and chairs and,
yeah,
you know, and it can look bad.
I could see, I don't know who it would be, but I could see somebody. I could see Rollins Triple H main event, dead serious. And when I say main event, I mean that being the title match, not necessarily being the main event.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the way that story is progressing, it would take some pretty impressive discipline on their part. But I could see, yeah, Triple H and Rollins main event, and Rollins beating Triple H with the pedigree.
And then abandoning that move forever. For fuck's sake.
And then letting it die.
Garbage-ass move. I mean, it's not a garbage
yeah.
move, but
I mean,
it's a good move. It's fucking sickening, and it's probably a top 25 finisher for sure.
Yeah.
But damn.
Was Triple H Taker, that wasn't a retirement match, was it?
No.
No? I mean, Triple H Rollins title versus career. That could be, I mean, that's...
That was the case. Triple H already broke that by coming back to Russell Sting and whoever else he did.
Well, yeah, true. But, I mean, yeah, just, you know, Rollins says he's tired of being in Triple H's shadow, which he's not. But that's the story they're kind of trying to tell. And then, you know, it's done.
Yeah. All right, Mike, anything you want to leave us
yeah.
with before we let you go?
Nah, you already know. Keep doing the show. Show's always
nope.
cool, despite what these clowns are saying, whatever the reviews, probably been around.
Well, I mean, let's keep it in perspective. It was way more good reviews. It was, you know,
of course.
On that
like,
one.
Like you said, you were talking about a review from a couple years ago. 3 years later, hey, you still off. And it's probably by somebody that ain't been around a woman since they've been birthed by one. So,
well. Oh, I hope he's listening. I really hope he's listening.
Yeah.
All
right, Mike. We'll be
playing. Take care, Mike.
Mike from Brooklyn,
everybody. Ooh.
I'm
going to get an angry tweet.
Pittsburgh.
I feel it coming.
Rich from Pittsburgh says the Triple H match with Taker was an end of an era match, so no retiring, just burying the rest of the roster.
There we go, my man Rich. you know what's funny? Like, now that I think about it, I think he's the most likely candidate to face Rollins at WrestleMania. I'm not even joking.
Who?
Triple H.
Oh, we were just talking about that. Okay.
Yeah, I think Triple H is a better shot than anybody because they interact more than anybody else, and there's more tension between them than anybody else. And Triple H is always going to hover around the top of the roster as long as he's considered a part of the roster. So, yeah.
Real quick before we do something we haven't done in a long time, this chat room action. Jobber said he could understand if Paige said Ricky Lake. I don't even. She's
but
still
no,
real nice.
Like, you still can't. Like, she still shouldn't know who Ricky Lake is. She shouldn't
yeah,
know who Ricky
I'm
Lake
like,
is.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, I know who. The reason I know who Ricky Lake is because my mom had a friend go on Ricky Lake when I was a kid, and we watched it. I was like six. No, she had a. No, dead ass. She had a friend go on Ricky Lake because she was embarrassed of her race. And here's the thing. The next show that they were going to tape was being ashamed of your race, because apparently these are different things. And the whole time she was on the show, well, no, it's not. People are stupid. But the whole time she was on the show, she was angry because she was on the wrong show. And she kept saying, again, Ricky, I'm not ashamed of my race. I'm just embarrassed by them. So, yeah, that was fun.
So she basically was Jim Webb on that episode. I'm telling you, I shouldn't be on this show. This is the wrong show. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also, Jarvis says, they in Chicago, they preempted the Flash for a fucking preseason Bulls-Pacers game. He says a freaking preseason game, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Mr. McCullough, the Paul George did have an impressive dunk. Just saying.
Also, Cena was hyping NXT. Oh, yeah, I didn't even hear what you said. On the 9 o'clock Sports Center, if you're up. So if you go off that, he could be it could be an NXT guy. Oh, yeah.
Jason Jordan comes up and takes the U.S. title.
Oh, shit. Take that shit back down to NXT.
Man.
No. Oh, that would – yeah, he's obviously not ready for that, but damn.
No.
He was.
But I would be so hyped. Or Baron Corbin, somebody. Yeah, there's things they can do.
Yeah, he says, give the U.S. title. Jarvis says, give the U.S. title to Travis's guy, Wade Barrett. Then Barrett can go back to jobbing in non-title matches.
Wow.
He says he wonders if Supergirl's premiere next Monday will affect Raw's ratings. CBS is promoting it during every commercial break. Yeah, and I'm not sure. I'm going to watch the pilot. I'm going to record the pilot, but I don't see that keeping me engaged. I'm gonna try. What was I thinking? Maybe Supergirl next Monday affect Raw's rating. What was I gonna say? Oh, how are we 4 episodes in? I was going to say this in the group me chat. None of us watch Heroes? I mean, obviously I do. But, like, why isn't it come
yeah.
up?
You know, I didn't watch it when it first came around. It seemed kind of hard.
You mean
to
in 06 or this season?
Yeah. In 06.
In 06. Okay.
Just because I think probably Alphas and Chronicle being a show, and Chronicle coming before Alphas. But Chronicle was the first time I watched, I think, a superhero movie that wasn't based on a previous property. It's not something I was, like, a big fan of coming up. Like, I always thought stuff like that was kind of corny. So I missed all the Heroes. And then when people told me how great Heroes was at the beginning and how it tapered off and went crazy at the end, I just never got into it. So, no, I have not watched the relaunch either.
There are a few, like, absolutes that I have. Like, Venture Brothers is probably one of the most well-written anime, and it's coming from a very limited, I don't watch it.
But it's hilarious. It's a
yeah,
very good show.
It's such a well-written show. Hero Season 1 might be one, it's definitely like top, whatever, I don't know, one of the greatest seasons of television, broadcast TV, throw another caveat.
Yeah, people love that. People absolutely
it was
it.
Amazing. And this season, this Reborn has got those same kind of feelings, that same kind of intrigue. Like, I think I know who's good and who's bad, but the history of this show, and it can, that it can switch up on you in a few episodes. But it's been really good this time around. So far, so good. Four episodes, I think, in. They got a girl who jumps in and out of this video game. It's crazy, like, that's, like, not, like, super, super cheesy. Like, how is this, like, one of the best aspects of the show, her storyline? Like, I would think that power would be kind of garbage. Like,
it seems like it wouldn't be super useful, huh?
Like, what do you do, right? Like, okay.
Yeah.
I can't.
You play
it's
Halo.
Like a realm. It's like a whole different dimension. Like, I can't. How is that affecting us here, girl?
I would never
want
to jump in a 2D game. It sounds very uncomfortable.
No way. Mm. All right, let's... Yeah, Heroes had a great first season. I gave up during season 2. Yeah, I remember that. Writer's Strike fucked so much shit up in 07. It fucked up the whole... what was Killface? That show Killface was on. Well, Archer is a fake-ass Xander Cruz, and Xander Cruz was on the show with Killface. It's an Adult Swim cartoon. They ruined that show. They just And like one episode was like, yeah, this whole storyline we had been built up to, we're done. We're starting at this new point. It was so weird. Like,
damn.
Like they put up a thing on the screen. Like, look, the whole presidential race and all that. Fuck it. We're going back to like, reset. Yeah, that strike, man, ruined a lot of Chuck.
Yeah,
because
it happened during the writer's strike. Yep.
Got ruined during that. But, yeah, but Heroes Season 2 got just obliterated. Like, who they, what kind of scabs did they bring in to write this crap? Yeah, a girl with that oozing, black ooze power affliction, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, yeah. All right, anyway, let's take this time out real quick to pay a bill or two.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The first time in months, we at the Pro Wrestling Torch East Coast cast are proudly sponsored and brought to you by DerekPrice.net. For all your graphic design needs, head over to DerekPrice.net. Tasty designs since 99. Derek does print, posters, ads, CD, DVD layouts, business cards, flyers, all kinds of graphic design things he does. Did an ad campaign for the Thistle Cottage Spring Victorian Tea Line, as well as the Lessons on the Lord's Prayer cover book and design layout. Nice color scheme going there. And the Thistle Cottage Mother's Day Victorian Tea 2014. So repeat customers. Because, like Brian Van Brunt said, he said, I really like it. It was surprising to see something I like right out the gate, since I'm so picky. So even picky people are choosing Derek Price. Responsive websites, logo branding expert, secure payments. We all need that that security. We're dealing online and transacting business. So again,
and
his mission,
picky
his
clients,
mission is yours.
Pick Derek.
Picky clients.
Picky clients.
Choosy clients
Derek.
And picky clients. Pick Derek Price.
Yeah, there you go.
So once again, head over to DerekPriceNet. Tell them Cam and Trav sent you. And also, we're brought to you by StuntGranny.com. And the fellows over there at StuntGranny.com. Kevin, Eric, Jeremy. That's only three.
Shaheed,
Dusty, damn. I forget. No, well, I do the original four first. And
I thought Dusty
was
tired.
Does Eric still do things for StuntGranny?
We need somebody to chime in. Somebody has an answer. I go answer to my phone. Somebody knows.
Shaheed, yeah, he's in the thing. Where's he? Why isn't he on the line?
I don't know. I think Dusty retired is the funniest thing Shaheed's ever said, though. He's like, Dusty retired. And I don't...
No fucking
way. There's no context. No, there's no context to it is why it's funny. It's just, he's like, Dusty retired. And that was the end of the conversation. But yeah.
No, he didn't. Because, I mean, I had this, like, irrational, like, dislike for Dusty for, like, 3 years. I didn't know why. I just didn't like the guy. Like, man, listen to him on the audio. Like, this fucking guy. But, yeah, no, Dusty's awesome. I've come around to Dusty the last 2 years. It was just out of unreasonable and...
Dusty pops into our Facebook group and just says the most random stuff, and it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. And he's serious with his.
Yeah, it's not a joke. The time capsule I live in is not funny. I'm serious.
So yeah, StuntGranny.com. Check out StuntGranny Audio 326, Chris and Kevin episode, almost live, definitely half-assed raw review. And also Stunt Granny 325, and also another Callie and Kevin audio. And Stunt Granny Conversations. And I'm sure a We Watch stuff thrown in there somewhere. I'm sure Shaheed.
I heard there was an issue with rewatch stuff, I think, over the last week or two.
Josh was, like, asking, like, why can't I download stuff?
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, there's a Stunt Granny Presents We Watch Stuff number 38. So that looks like the last one. So they might have been having a little trouble in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah. So stuntgranny.com. Go check those guys out. Read their blogs, their articles, click their clickables, listen to their listenables. And, stuntgranny.com. And, yeah. So,
hey, where are the white women at?
Well, currently they reside over at candygirlvideo.com. For all your candy girl needs, head over to candygirlvideo.com. We're obsessed with micro thongs. Of things to be obsessed with. You know. It's like, oh, well, okay.
A little does go a long way when
you're
talking about women's underpants. So, yeah.
Totally. So, yeah. So, go take a free tour. Go get yourself a password. Sign up. All kinds of ridiculous high quality pics and vids. CandyGirlVideo.com. And also, and lastly, we're brought to you by Punk.co. Punk Apparel. Premium, high-quality apparel. Their mission is to create clothing that rocks. British streetwear label based in the northeast of England. Check them out. Punk.co. PUNC.co. Guys, girls, custom. Guys, clothes, girls, clothes, custom orders. If you want a custom hoodie, tee, vest, sweater, they do custom orders as well. They still doing the free shipping? Damn. Free shipping worldwide, not just in the UK.
Man.
Worldwide. So, custom stuff, or check out their original line, which is pretty cool. That's pretty sweet. Tank top with the Statue of Liberty thing going. Punk.co, PUNC.co. And if you use the promo code, I hope this is still available. We ended an ad in a minute. Maybe Punk.co is like, fuck these guys. But I think if you use the promo code East Coast Cast, ECC, I'm sorry, for East Coast Cast, ECC, all caps, you'll get 15% off across the whole site, including custom orders. So head over to Punk.co, PUNC.co. All right, in the last 20 minutes or so of the live non-overrun portion of the show, let's head back to the phone lines. Let's go to, I guess this is North Jersey, same area code. I don't know. Did you change numbers yet, Kylan? Is this a new number or the same one?
We don't have to.
I thought that was kind of weird. Like, oh, how 1990s that you're moving and have to get a new number.
You know me and my other stupidity when it comes to technological stuff.
Old Highland being self-deprecating. Yeah. No, I got you. No, cool. So glad you're. Did you guys actually move yet?
No, we have about two more weeks, I think.
Are you excited to move, or are you sad to leave your house?
Yeah, I'm excited.
But wait, but what about the man cave and your guys' garage and your dad's motorcycle and all that shit?
We're going to be building a new one.
Nice. Gonna have a projection screen in that one.
Yeah, we're looking at doing all kinds of different renovations and rebuilding in decent time. So if you do decide to come visit us again, you'd be more than welcome.
All right, bet. I might take that as a challenge to come see the new crib. So, all right, what's on your mind this week?
Well, first off, let me say, minor comments first. It was so funny to me when you brought up Paige saying the Sally Jesse Raphael joke to Renee Young, because I of course knew who Sally Jesse Raphael
right.
was.
Your favorite sitcom is friggin' Maude, so you're a special kind of fella.
but even I as a 5-6 year old used to flip past the Sally Jesse Raphael show, because I thought she was the most boring lady ever on television.
And that's saying a lot. But yeah,
of course, it might also have something to do with the fact that she was on Up Against the Price Is Right here, but. I also thought Ricky Lake was trash too.
Well, yeah. Well, what a revelation! Trash TV. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right.
Oh,
so what you
and,
got?
And, oh, yeah. And also, since you did bring up Mary with Children, I thought you'd get a kick out of the fact that David Faustino is allegedly trying to do a reboot, but Sony and some other executives are holding him up.
He's the one that needs a check. Everybody else wants it.
Do you guys remember a show, I'm thinking maybe summer 05, and it was on WB or CW.
Wait, before you keep going, are you talking about Unhappily Ever After?
No. We're talking about no. That was just
later. This is later. Okay.
Decent show that,
like, the first Married with Children knockoff.
Yeah. No, this was the show David Faustino was on called The Help, right? And it was about this Mexican family that lived and worked in this affluent mansion, and David Faustino was the spoiled, do nothing man child that loafed around the house and interacted and talked to the maids and staff and all that stuff. But the show was built around this Mexican girl who was the main maid, and the show only was like 3 episodes, if that, but she was spectacular. I'm opening up my pick folder now because I have her in my.
Why do you have that so close?
Latin chicks folder, yes.
Oh my God.
Man.
Right, first thing, Alexis Amour, goddamn. Alexis Amour, well, Kitty Cup. Alexis Breeze.
That brings
Ben.
Us back.
Brazilian.
God.
Volleyball. Okay, let's.
Well,
yeah, but Camille Guadi, I guess, Guady.
I'm looking at it now. Play Maria. Yeah.
Ridiculous. My God, those dimples. Like, where is she? Why doesn't she get a show or a role?
She's on Scorpion right now.
Ah, fuck Scorpion. See, of course. Show I don't even have no interest.
And
in
hey, to bring it to our other show, she was one of the guy's girlfriends on Prison Break.
Oh, again, and just so just not stuff. Yeah, Rich just said on Twitter she was on Prison Break.
Mm-hmm.
But that show was actually pretty funny. I
no,
know, the 3 episodes they got.
Oh.
Anyway, Kylan, I don't know if we got to your actual question.
I actually didn't ask a question yet, but I do have one. This is on the Breaking Ground show that's going to start Sunday afternoon. will breaking ground further destroy our memory of wrestling as we knew it?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, it's not going to be any, it's not going to be breaking ground to you or to me or Cam or anybody probably listening to this show. It's nothing that they're going to show on this show that's going to be really, really groundbreaking. Like, oh wow, that's what they do. It's NFL, not Hard Knocks, but wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to see them train. It'll be more intense than Tough Enough because these will be actual wrestlers already, which will be a plus, which will be a reason to watch the show. They could do things, boom, 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 do drills, do stuff that's not like, and see people stumbling over themselves and trying to learn. That's not really fun, seeing people try and learning to do something. Like, no, I want to see you do it. So it's going to be more about developing people that are already obviously trained and have a career.
I remember they showed like the Team USA basketball practices. You could actually watch those on NBA TV. And it was interesting to like to jump in and jump out of them. But I don't think this is a thing where you're going to see so much. It'll lessen your ability to want to see the product. I think it'll be interesting to pop in and out again.
It's just a reality show. It'll just be a different format than Tough Enough. Like, oh, God, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Be what Tough Enough should have been, or maybe what Tough Enough was in 99 or 2000, whenever they did that MTV one.
I think it'll be cool, or it'll be nothing. I don't think it'll take away from anything that's happening, though.
No. All right, Kylan, thanks for the call, as always, and I'll get on you about the trip up to Newark. All right, let's... oh, shit, we ain't got no emails. Let's say get y'all emails in, eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. No. So, 56 Nights, your favorite future mixtape? You did say that.
I think 56 Nights is the best one. I think I like Monster.
So I haven't gotten that. I'm still at Free Band Gang the movie. That's where I left off.
Yeah.
The
no, I think 56 Nights is the one. Yeah.
That's the one because I don't have them all on my player. They're on my phone through the Google Music, but I like playing shit on my player. And they're not on there, so the one I go back to, it's always 56 Nights Over, What a Time to Be Alive. Because do I open the show with today with, that was the decision, the choice, to open the show with Never Gonna Lose or Digital Dash. You know, like
if he was in Digital Dash, I probably would have started dancing on the balcony. That would have been rough.
Right, there's songs of his that I put in a certain category, like where he, like your homie described that shit so perfectly when he said how he danced on those beats. Digital Dash, Never Gonna Lose, I thought it was a drought. Like those are like tracks that he, when I was asking you when did he turn like the dope corner, like, because all the shit I've heard, like, since, I heard DS2, then I heard 56 Nights, then I realized, oh, shit, I got Honest, because I got it for Move That Dope and Karate Chop, the remix, but nothing else, even though that joint kind of whack. But I was like, his shit, everything now sounds like he's thorough, but I'm hearing, like, Dirty Sprite 1 and 1000 and all the shit from 2011 and 2012, I'm like, it's okay, and there's songs... here and there that like, oh, okay, I see where he was, you know. like I was just reading the comments on the video for Tony Montana. Tony Montana. People trying to spell Tony Montana different.
Like how
you say,
Tony Montana. You know, I always like the music and the sound, but I think it's getting with that right producer. You know.
Yeah, it's something about
Metro Boomin, and it's just like
And I think 808 Mafia, they're yeah, they're them and Metro
yeah,
Boomin.
They got it too.
And then and then like Mike Will maybe. And
yeah.
I haven't heard the joint with Zaytoven. I think that's a month.
Yeah, and if you listen to it, it sounds like a lot of the stuff that happened with I think I posted this, like a lot of the stuff that happened with Honest was L.A. Reid and those guys being like, this is the direction we want to take you. And, you know, they wanted it to be more pop. That's why it sounds the way
much,
it is.
Yeah, too much good stuff was happening on that album. Like, like your life is, like it sucks, but it's like your life is like in a good place right now. And this is kind of trash. And as soon as he broke up with his John and baby mama drama, there we go. This is right. All right. These are the Sarah-laden sessions I need in the studio. And I, you know, or he's just on the track mumbling. It's like he's fucking wasted.
His life is so
long. And again,
I say this so bad.
Full acknowledgement that I'm, you know, hips going to crit. That's all I'm going to say. But 56 Nights and the joint and Free Bricks, like I said, if it's early shit, Free Bricks is right there. So, okay, let's, enough of that. Okay, 412, let's try them again. They called back, so I think it was 412 we tried to go to earlier. 412, who's this?
What up?
This is Rich.
Oh, Rich, was that you earlier?
Yeah, I called from my cell phone, and then my wife buzzed in.
Oh, okay.
And so I was talking to her, and by the time I clicked over, I could hear part of what you guys were saying on my computer, but I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, and I hung up that. I cleared that line to make them call back, because I wasn't sure. Like, oh, okay, if they're not on it, then why have that line open? So, what's up, Rich? What's on your mind?
Not much. I'm sending you an email, too, with some other stuff I might not get a chance to talk about. But the first thing was Roman. You missed the one thing you didn't mention with Raw, or maybe you did while I was in practice. Roman having the chat with the empty chair like he's Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, no.
It was just another way that they put him out there in the struggle.
The Eagles were playing. So,
oh, okay.
You know, I was... I didn't, like, I don't care. Like, what's he saying? Like,
it was
probably like I
sped
through and tried to, like, all right, let's get to the act when they jump him or whatever.
So, awkward.
Yeah,
and then Wyatt did sit down, and they're like an inch away from each other. And this
they were right in each other's face. That's right.
And this is supposed to be a dude who tried to kidnap or molest in some way his daughter, and then they had to back off of that, and then now they just don't like each other. And you're just going to sit there and be like, I don't like you, and you're not going to have your friends, and I'm going to beat you up.
I mean, what
like,
else is there to say?
But if it's supposed to be a blood feud to the level of them going to a Hell in a Cell, they shouldn't even be able to be in a ring with each other without trying to kill each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah. But, yeah.
That's the thing with everything. And I wanted you guys, if you get a
chance.
This
match came after
you,
2 weeks after that brawl they had on Raw. That was like 6 weeks ago. It feels like, at least.
I mean, I get it. I mean, I don't want to dogpile because everybody who called in to either the Torch, the live cast shows, or tweeted Wade, you know, or even tweeted you, we all see what's wrong with Raw. But, I mean, stuff like that, I'm like, come on. Do a little better. Or the Sally Jesse Raphael, you're doing that joke to get a pop out of Vince and done, and not out of the audience.
Yeah, and
servant.
Yeah. Sally Jesse Raphael.
No, I didn't even. Nope, that's exactly what it was.
Because that's not something to get us, like with the 34 to 38 market, like you were saying. That's to get Vince McMahon or Kevin Dunn chortling in their Coke. Oh my God, that's brilliant.
But it's so not, though. How can they not? Like,
well, remember, this is the same dude, I don't know if you listened to the New Day Talk Is Jericho interview, that was actually depressed that the New Day weren't getting over his faces when they first came out.
So that was, because I remember Wade talking, like, I really hope Vince isn't, like, I don't understand. Now they love him.
Like you could hear it in their voices. Like they try to be good soldiers about it, but they also being real. It's like, yeah, we would come in every day, and every day Vince is like, I don't know why this is working, guys. I'm sorry. I thought it would really work. And, you know, they mentioned in particular, you know, when he mentioned on the Stone Cold podcast the Brass Re comment, I knew he wasn't talking about us because we were with him every day.
The who comments?
Remember when he said the brass ring comment about the lazy millennials and all that?
Oh, that's right. Last year.
And they were like, we knew that wasn't us because we were in his office every day trying to fire new stuff out.
So all three of them were in doing Talk Is Jericho?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. It wasn't crowded? Too crowded?
No. They played. I mean, the relationship those guys have is so genuine that as one person bounced in, another one could bounce out. And at no point did it feel like you're stumbling over each other's words.
Right. I mean, the table for three was really good with them.
I mean, and if you guys get a chance on YouTube, his up, Xavier Woods' up, down, down show.
I've seen a few of those.
It's funny to me because I watched the one they're doing a Madden tournament over the next couple of weeks with most of the wrestlers. And it's so amazing to me that the same roster that has those guys in one room playing Madden has Brock off to himself eating a steak, waiting to just come out and do his part.
Yo, I don't understand that. Like, I get it. I just don't understand it. Like, I don't understand. Like, I fly to people's houses I fly to people across the country and, like, they ain't going to sleep on an air mattress or sleep on your couch and hang out for the weekend. Like, you know, I know we met online, but we're good pals now. Like, I can't imagine, like, I'm not a social butterfly. I don't have a ton of friends, but the friends I have, like, I care about and are my friends. Like, I don't want to see my neighbors. Like, I want to see my neighbor. It's not just to be like, hey, neighbor, hey, good, you're still breathing. What the fuck? Like, you just want to die and, like, I guess he's married, so he wouldn't be alone. Like, I'm about to say, just die and, like, you're dumb. Like, he's
married, kids.
Nobody finds you, like, for months. Like, what? I don't want to see my neighbors. Like, gee whiz.
Yeah. Well, he's on a whole different level of that stuff. Like, me, I'm the type of person, I have my close friends, and then everybody else, if you're an acquaintance, I'll hang out and I'll do stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to be going crazy about it.
Yeah,
I'm not Cameron.
But
I'm not
Brock,
Cameron
like, straight up,
the
like,
who know,
I would never
want to
be the person that runs into Brock Lesnar in an airport.
But the whole senior class at UT?
the whole senior class. But, oh, yeah, I think it's that thing where, you know, part of it is that farm mentality. And it seems like, you know, when he was talking about, like, his brothers and stuff, like, that need that you have to know what's going on outside of the world, like outside of like your specific world, you feel like he gets enough of that interaction to where he knows what's happening, but, you know, isn't super interested in that progress. Like, you know, he knows rock music because of his brothers. Like, he knows his business savvy from Rock and Heyman and the UFC guys, you know what I mean? So it seems like, you know, as much as he's, you know, what seems to be an introvert, like, he has those basic things that, you know, I have a wife and I have kids and I have food and I have money, and when I need to be around people, I can. You know, it's just that social interaction isn't a priority for him. Yeah, but he seems to enjoy it. Like, him talking to Austin, they seem to be having fun talking, regardless of if, like you said, like, I sent you a text, like, last month. So, you know, they're doing their own thing. Like, they won't talk for a whole month. When he gets in front of them, he's like, oh, yeah, this is cool. I just think, like, somebody he isn't totally comfortable with and isn't totally involved with, he doesn't want to see them all the time or even on a regular basis. So it's like, yeah, he's – that guy's different. Like, I would love to hear, like, Brock and Shelton college stories, though.
Yes.
Like, if they just hear him talk for 3 days. You sit down for three different shows and just listening to talk about college, because, like, me knowing and I think I've told this story before about when I was in college, I worked at a toy store, and right before I started working there, my boss is talking about these toys. She's like, you see these wrestler toys? I'm like, yeah, you see this one right here, this guy. She's pointing to Shelton Benjamin. She's like, yeah, he came in here like a week or two ago and tried to buy, like, six of these for the girls he was with.
I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, yeah, but I didn't sell them to him. I was like, you didn't sell them to him? So I was like, why? She was like, because this is, again, like, oh, I don't know, 607. She said, well, he had a credit card, but he didn't have his ID. And I was
God.
But his name is on the credit card, and
right.
he's on the box. And she was like,
right.
His
name, his,
like,
it's not like his name, he's not Edge, you know.
His name is Shelton,
you know, where
like
his, like his name on his card says Shelton Benjamin, and his name is his wrestler name is his name, Shelton fucking Benjamin.
So a guy who takes girls to a store to buy his own toy, I want to hear his college stories.
And Brock kind of alluded to that too, Cam, when he was like,
Rich,
Steve kind of cut him off, where he was like, yeah, you know, I had a little too much fun on the road.
Rich, we've been trying to tell Josh, and he won't
listen. No, me too, because I'm the one that brought it up. I said,
I was like,
So I must have missed, like, some key, because I didn't hear that. And just going by his whole, I don't want, you know, I'm a farm boy, I don't, like, need friends, I don't like people, I don't want to be around people. I said, over under, like, 20 women that Brock ran through, like, I guess his whole life. And they were taking the way over. Oh, yeah, he probably smacked
it.
He probably don't want to.
It might have been 20 in OVW. Because,
yeah,
like,
I'm thinking over,
like,
just
Rich,
because if he was roommates with Shelton at Minnesota and at OVW, I'm taking over 20.
And then, yeah,
right.
Like you said, like, he was like, yeah, because he was like, because Austin was basically like, you've seen some crazy things on the road, and Brock gets this grin on his face.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, been in some crazy places. And Austin's like, and he takes off, and just that much, I was like, well, he might not like people, but he likes pussy.
The two times he smiled, Cam, were when he smiled about talking about the women, and when he said, I got to feed the Jew, and then kind of stopped, and he realized, I'm on public television, and I can't say everything I need to say.
Exactly. And so,
because I think that's what happened. He was kind of like how Wade complains about Randy Orton sometimes, where he'll let his personality out for a second and then realize it stopped. That's what Brock did. When he said, I got to feed the Jew, and then, like, Austin looked off camera for a second because somebody probably lost their mind. He was like, I'm and he doesn't want to apologize for it because he's not going to apologize. But he's like, okay, I'm done. I'm back to stock answers. And
You just imagine the three or four people that Brock does like and brings around, they probably just have a blast because he's probably a crazy person.
Right.
Yeah.
I sent a tweet to Wade. Like, Brock's the dude. He has all these accolades, and a part of his ego appreciates it, but he also doesn't care. And I think for some fans, they don't get that you don't have to be Daniel Bryan and a star for your art. You could just punch a clock. Like, to me, I would be, if I were him, one of the main things I'd be pushing for them to talk about is the fact I was the IWGP champion and I was smoking fools in Japan. But he's like, yeah, I did that. I made money. I left. What do we want to know?
And he just, and again, like, this is something that I really appreciate about him. It's he, as much as he enjoys it, it's a job.
Right.
And you just wish, like, he didn't, we had two channels growing up, and they didn't work all the time. Like, I didn't know anything about pro wrestling.
Right.
Like, he's at this because he's good at it, not because he always dreamed about it. And you just appreciate that. Like, Brock Lesnar is just great. I hope he sticks around as long as he can stick around. Keep eating those steaks.
Yes. Or don't keep eating those steaks.
Or get some maybe chicken and some fish.
I told Shahid, I'm like, I bet he fucking slashed the broccoli off the fucking plate of his steak.
Oh, yeah. Seen, like, a stalk of broccoli catching F5?
Like, I can
Chuck needs
spare
to draw
another
that
half
right now.
Foot of colon. Like, didn't he lose, like, a foot of his colon? Yeah.
Come on,
bro. That makes it easier to eat the meat. He's got an express lane.
Yeah, man. He just eats in the bathroom.
His kids open the door, like, get out.
Yeah, man. You don't want any part of this.
No, I do find, yeah, great. He punches the clock. He's good at something. There's still, because of what wrestling is, because it's not, like, no one loves accounting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Derek Price
probably really loves graphic designs. I mean, he made a career out of it, and he doesn't work for, especially the way he does it. He doesn't work for anybody. He's got his own company. He makes his rules. You know, choosy clients choose him. You know, but a job where you go to work for, that's typically not seen. Of course you don't love that, where you go and you punch a clock. That's seen as dreary, as you would want to escape from that. You would want to, if you were good at something where you could have a job that you weren't just punching a clock and it was playtime, whether you were some kind of entertainer in a traditional sense, like stand up on the stage and sing or dance, or you were an athlete. You got paid to play, and when that's kind of thrown back at you, like, whatever, it's a job, you're like, oh, I mean, I guess if
no,
I was
I
just
think
so
even
ridiculously
that,
good at doing something, I could, you know, I don't know. I understand,
said, like,
is what I'm saying, why people would
yeah.
feel that,
even
like, damn, you don't even love it a little bit? A little
well,
bit?
Well, it's not that he didn't love it. He thinks that even though it's, he said
he don't
job
talk,
in the
well,
sense
his whole
that,
thing was, I don't sit around talking about wrestling. Like, well, how do you, well, that's
well,
why, like,
right,
Triple H
point.
And all those guys and Shawn Michaels were so good, and you know, because that's all they, you know, you hear those stories. We just sit in a car and drive town to town and just nonstop wrestling, you know, because that's something they
like
love and they get
to
do it for a living. Not just punching a clock. And then that lifestyle
well, he'll talk to some
also
of those
is something
though,
that they love. Say what, Rich?
He'll talk to some of those dudes, because even in the Stone Cold podcast, he talked about how he was talking to people in the back about this and that. But he's not going to, like I was listening to Wade, and I was laughing in my car because, you know, he made Austin feel like a buster because he was like, oh, you remember those WrestleMania numbers?
What the fuck
yeah,
is that
about?
I didn't appreciate that.
That's
so
like,
weird.
I get that. But you got to look at it like this. We, in the NFL Hall of Fame, you have a person like Jim Brown who breathed football, and you have Curtis Martin who, outside of being really good at football, didn't follow it after he played or while he was playing.
Right.
He hated
yeah,
football.
I mean,
he just wanted to do something.
And there
well,
is room
you,
for that. And it's not an odd
Dunn,
thing.
Like, can't tell you his career rushing yards, but he can tell you how many people's houses he built.
I was about to say,
right.
Like, probably, I mean, kids he sent to college.
Exactly,
you know.
Yeah. Like, it's different, but, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I look at the roster they got now. Like, when I watch Up, Down, Down, and the WWE champion is pissed off, like, cussing a blue streak because he's losing to Kofi Kingston in a football game, I think that's cool. But that's
yeah.
not Brock. Brock's not going to go pop it in. It's like, hey, guys, you playing, you know, I got the Eagles next or something like that. You know, he's
right.
he's probably the one that walks by and they get real quiet and then they go
yeah.
back to doing what they're doing.
Everybody pause the game and everybody looks down for a while.
Because there are times, like, it's funny. Every time I joke with a buddy of mine, I send him a text. Every time they do that show, there's a portion where they're either doing promos or something, someone near them. So they go from screaming to, like, you're at your friend's house and the mom gets home and you're trying to be quiet about it. And I was like, I told my buddy, I was like, I just imagine Brock's walking by at the catering, and they're like, leave Mr. Lesnar alone. If he hears us playing these stupid video games, he's going to break my PS4 again.
I'm going to pick it up and throw it. Oh.
Yo, Asuka is putting in work against this ridiculously
hot
jobber chick. I forget
yeah, Billie
Kay.
She's another Australian chick. Her and I can't remember the other one with Emma. They all.
Yo, Asuka,
like,
are those her eyes or are those like contacts or something?
I think those are contacts.
She
okay.
had the Italian surgery.
And she's licking. She's gone into the LL Cool J territory of lick-lipping.
Oh, really?
Asuka,
oh,
yes.
Oh, really? Let me turn this on.
Yeah, they just, here, I'll send you. The WWE Universe just sent a tweet of it as an animated GIF, and I was like, okay.
Wow. Yo, she's sexy than a motherfucker, though.
Yes,
like you know
yes.
how I am with that hair though, Ken. That you know that
yeah.
Sailor Moon hair.
Come on, Sailor, looking like a damn anime character.
That shit was blue. If that shit was blue instead of red and pink, oh my god.
Attack on NXT.
Yeah. She got the young purple streak in there. I see it though. All right, Rich. Anything else for us?
If you could do me a favor when you're on with Bruce, if you're on Friday, Can you see if he changed his opinion on the whole thing with Bailey's number one fan now that she's one of their NXT kids hosts or whatever she's doing with them?
Oh, really? So that's
yeah.
a real thing, like NXT
yeah.
kids?
Oh, she
yeah,
looking
just read the Observer while I was talking to you guys. Apparently, Corey Graves hosts it with two kids, and it's just NXT matches with kids commentating on them.
That's cute.
Oh,
so,
okay.
like, they had a match with Billie Kay, and they started talking about Kangaroo Girl, and that led to them having a conversation for kangaroos throughout the match.
I remember Daniel Bryan. What was his host? Look at her. Yo, she.
I saw that.
What was his gimmick? Oh, bears.
Yeah.
He loved bears on the Saturday morning show. Bears, polar bears, koala bears. It didn't matter. Shit. So, oh, okay, real quick while I got Rich on. So I posted the picture of Doc Brown with his future shades on talking to Marty in 1986 or whatever it was at that point. Or it was technically it's 89, but and he's telling them, you know, the future, and he's digging in the trash can for the bananas and stuff to put in the banana peel to put in the thing. So I was just saying happy Back to the Future Day and all that stuff. And so Rod, who listens to the show, was saying something about what kind of future is this? Kind of the opposite of what we were saying on the Fan by Fan show earlier, Cam, about the Matrix. Their future was just like all black and brown people. That was a dark-ass
uh-huh.
future. And this feed, so Rod's like, what kind of future is this? Where are the black folks at in this future? And then Autumn comes in. Sweet Portuguese cupcake, Autumn. The mayor was black in the future. There were musicians. Also, that group that came to save Marty's ass when he was locked in the trunk, the music.